With me your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Judges. The book of Judges in the chapter 16. And while you're turning there, can I thank Catherine again for her ministry to us this evening. The book of Judges in the chapter 16, we're going to take the time to read through the entirety of this chapter. Beginning then at the verse 1. And the word of God says, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in a chamber, and she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. He said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. There were liars and we had abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, Thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with a web. She fastened it with a pin and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst I say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. For they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. When the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. It came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, Call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars wherewith the house standeth that I may lean upon them. And the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Sora and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Ending our reading there at the verse 31. We pick up the series that we began, of course, prior to the Christmas season in the Gospel and the various books of the Bible. And so making our way from book to book, we're picking out the Gospel message each and every time and seeking to present it as led of the Lord. Coming as we do then to the book of Judges, we come to a time period that is defined by this simple statement, everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. There's a spirit of dissension, a spirit of rebellion. There's a spirit of sinful denying all that God has commanded, a turning away even from his word and from his way, a chasing after the things of time, the things of this world. And so the need arises each and every time for God to raise up a deliverer, one who would take a stand and seek to encourage those around him or her even to take the same stand and to know deliverance from their foes, to know even relief from the oppressor, to know freedom from all that binds. Samson was such a deliverer. He knew the very call, the hand of God upon him from a very young age. His life was prepared for the service that God had prepared for him. But Samson fought a great battle. A battle that was completely internal. For as mighty a man as he was, as he faced the foes of the Philistines and many others beside, he nevertheless succumbed time and time to the enemy that raged within. Tonight, as we announced this morning, we come to identify even that which he battled with, and deal with that which I believe every man in this building tonight knows what it is, or perhaps knows what it was to fight a battle with. But tonight we see highlighted in the life of Samson the sin of lust. Messages gone past, we highlighted the truth that when Satan attacks, when Satan tempts the child of God, he does so through three avenues. He seeks to entice us even with the things of time. He seeks to entice us to do that which God would have us not to do. He seeks to entice us to be someone that God has not called us to be. He entices us to have something that God would not have us to have. The Word of God sums it up as the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. But despite the fact that very often we identify that as a battle that is before every believer, so too it's readily identified as the way in which Satan entraps those who are in this world. He does so through the things of time. The temptations and the vices that he has created that diverge even men and women of this generation and many generations beside from the way that God has appointed and leads them into the deepness and the darkness of sin. All predicated, I believe, upon this lust that rages within us all. So we come to Samson tonight, and we have two simple points. For Samson was a loser, but Samson was also a winner. Coming to the first of those, we see firstly tonight that he lost to the sin of lust. He lost to the sin of lust. The sin of lust is one which has infected or affected every man of every generation. No matter how noble you feel tonight, the truth is that you have or you currently are battling this very trait within you. And failure to deal with lust in the life of a man will inevitably lead to defeat. How can I be so sure? Well, the Bible reminds us, I believe, that lust arises out of the uncontrolled natural urges that God has placed in every man. We're focusing our thoughts very much upon the gender divide there, that being the man is in view in all of the comments that we come to in the initial part of this message. God has always designed that men would be attracted to women. God has always designed that in the features, the figure, and the face of a woman, that man would find and receive pleasure. But when the desire of this pleasure takes a driving seat in the mind or the heart of a man, then that man is headed for destruction, unless he can assume control of his actions once again. This is exactly what we see in the life of Samson. Come back a couple of chapters to the verse, or the chapter 14, and read with me in the verse 1. It tells us there, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Come into the chapter that we read tonight, and we see in verse 1, it says, Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. In verse 4, it tells us this, it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And time after time, we see and identified in the life of Samson a look. And as he looked and as he saw, he wanted and he desired to obtain at all costs, regardless of the consequences. Tonight, as we've made our way through chapter 16, we see that it cost him everything in the end. This weakness that he had in his life meant that he forfeited the full scope of the blessing that God had planned for him. And ultimately, this weakness cost him his life. Tonight, I tell you that if a man will not face up to and indeed deal with the habits and desires of the sin nature, that is the final outcome of it all. Samson is one who exhibits to us a life which trifled with sin. One who gave in to the temptations of sin, and then one who tragically lived his life in sin, not even realizing or recognizing that at the point of need, the Spirit of God had departed from him. We see here in chapter 16, in the verse 1, that his pursuit of sin, this lustful desire, meant that he crossed the borders. For the Bible tells us that he went to Gaza. This was a place that he was not called to live in. This was a place that God had clearly said that his people were to stay away from. The border that existed between the land of Israel and the place called Gaza, it was a geographical border, yes, but it clearly delineated the land that was given to the people of God. It clearly delineated the land of promise, the land of blessing, the land of protection. But Samson left all that behind, the blessed land, to chase after his sin, to fulfill his desires. All because he was led by his impulses, guided by his eyes. Now, for many of us, men tonight, this problem is manifested in the same way as it was in Samson's life. The sin of lust is a sin of the eyes. But that inevitably leads to a sin of the mind. Friend, tonight I realize that you may be sitting with your wife, you may be sitting amongst your family. But do not mock or do not shun the reality of what we're dealing with. The Bible warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse 12, "Wherefore, let him that standeth take heed, lest he fall." So with a loving pastor's heart tonight, I urge you one and all, don't be ignorant of this sin. And most certainly, don't be arrogant thinking that it won't affect you. We live in a lustful world today. Each and every day we're bombarded with images, social media posts, magazine covers, billboards, TV advertisements, internet pop-ups, all which contain images, which immediately attracts and arouses the internal natural desires of man. And whilst all of that may explain why you and I battle with lust, let me be very clear, it never excuses it. And tonight, if you're one who knows what it is to have dabbled or currently dabbling with this sin, your lingering eyes on such images, your lingering eyes on women in public areas, you're entertaining these thoughts in your mind where you think that no one else can see, or perhaps where no one else is harmed, these are all your willing choices, which God's word never excuses, always condemns. But I believe it also necessary to say this to the ladies tonight. Before perhaps being accused of a one-sided sermon, can I say that there are certain ladies who are energized by lust? That is to say that they positively respond to the lust-filled pursuits of a man, any man. And so they engage in innocent flirting. Or banter, unscrupulous talk. Ladies, I remind you that that is all connected to the sin of lust also. I'm not saying that a man's lust is your fault, and I'm not attacking how you may dress or appear. But I am saying that if the attention of a man other than your husband energizes you in a positive way, you have crossed the boundary that God never intended you to cross. You may think, what harm is there? No one gets hurt, no one acts in what they're suggesting. But friend, tonight you are guilty of sinning against God. And may I take the opportunity to address the young people amongst us who live in a world where all of this is rampant across the social media networks and using the various social media devices. That if you as a Christian young person simply put up images to attract the likes and the comments of others, if your Facebook posts, your Snapchats, and your Instagram posts are continually getting more and more provocative so that you can initiate a more and more of a response, then you too are treading into territory that is only ever going to lead to disaster, for you do not need to enter into the world's scheme. God would have all of our young people to remain unspotted and undefiled from this world. And so do not give in to the enticements and do not give in to the temptations and do not give in to that which only appeals in the moment and satisfies in the instant. Friend, tonight, no matter who you are, no matter what position you have in the life of in life or indeed in the church, what you allow to occur privately in your life or in your head will one day shame you publicly. If you do not control and conquer the flesh within. I know you may think you've gotten away with it thus far. You may think that no one will ever find out. But friend, don't fool yourself, because at the end of the chapter, the Word of God reminds us that He judged Israel 20 years. 20 years this battle raged within. 20 years he continually succumbed to the enticements of time and to the things that he saw. But after 20 years, he was publicly humiliated. His sin was exposed, and God allowed a great lesson to be taught. He didn't get away with it. And what in the beginning brought him pleasure, in the end poisoned him fatally. What in the beginning was just an impulse, in the end brought total defeat. That's the power of the sin of lust. And that is what will be the end of the result of all who do not deal with properly, or by God's grace, conquer this sin. Charles Swindoll said this worthy pride of Israel, who once held dear the highest office in the land, was now the bald-headed clown in Philistia. A pathetic shell of humanity. His eyes would never wander again. His life was once filled with promise and dignity, but now it was a portrait of hopelessness and helpless despair. Chalk up another victim for lust. He being dead, yet speaketh. I know that tonight we're dealing with something that is sensitive, but I know that tonight we're speaking to people who are dealing with it. And I urge you to learn the lesson from the book of Judges, to learn the lesson from the life of Samson. Beware of the sin of lust. He lost to the sin of lust, but notice that he won a salvation by grace. And this is a message of hope that is found in this account tonight, for this is not all gloom and despair, and it's not at all an effort to point the finger, nor indeed to shine the spotlight. This is a rehearsal once more of the grace of Almighty God. For despite the reality that is to be found in the life of Samson, and despite the lessons that are to be learned from his mistakes and from his downfall, this testimony is also resplendent with an amazing demonstration of the grace of God. If you're outside of Christ, then tonight you gather in this building, or tonight you gather under the sound of the Word of God, with a life that is marred by sin and defeat. But this message is a simple reminder that there's no sin or failure too great that He cannot save us from. There's no sin or failure in your life or in mine that He can't completely transform. Tonight, if you're outside of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to make you a new creation. For just as the songwriter put it, our sins may be many, but as we're reminded at the table, His mercy is more. And that's a message that we deliver tonight, for that's a message that we learn from the life of Samson. Oh yes, there's a warning, a very stark warning, especially to the men who are amongst us. But there's a great message of grace to all who will believe. We all know the story. Samson is found out for the source of his strength, and then he knows what it is to have his strength removed from him as his head is shaven. The Philistines come into that room, and they're able to take him and bind him and carry him down even to that place where they take his eyes out and place him in the prison house. And I often think to myself, what was Samson thinking as he was laughed at, as he was mocked, as he was called to make sport before this crowd that had gathered to celebrate? Was his pride finally beat out of him? Was he more concerned about the glory of God in this moment than he was about extracting revenge for himself? I believe that Samson knew what it was to have his mind and his heart directed toward God at the end of this story. For as we behold all that happens as Samson is taken captive and as he now finds himself in this great house where there are assembled thousands of people to celebrate the fact that this great warrior of Israel, this great judge who God had placed over his people, was now in their possession, was now in their captivity. God works a miracle in seemingly hopeless and a seemingly impossible situation. This miracle that God works brings about a victory in Samson's life, unlike any other victory that he had ever accomplished thus far. For the Bible tells us there at the end of verse 30, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And so as God does something in a man's life, we see that the potential of that life is transformed into something which you and I could never fathom nor fully comprehend. But by the grace of Almighty God, he's able to take that which is hopeless. He's able to transform it. And he's able to accomplish in that life a miracle which testifies of him. That's the message of hope. Samson here is bound and fettered. Just days ago, he would have been able to, without a second thought, rip himself free, but no longer. Now he wasn't able to roam about at will. Now he didn't strike the fear of God into any man or any woman. And the Bible records here how that he even had to ask the little servant boy who was there to help him find and steady himself with the grand pillars of the house. And that life which was once filled with worldly pleasures, life that once was lived carefree, life that was once faced with great self-confidence, was now a life in which he was a servant of the enemy. He was a mockery of all around. God is bringing him to the end of himself. God is reminding him in that moment that without him, life isn't worth living. God is proving beyond all doubt once more that a life void of the presence of God, a life void of the true knowledge of God, is an empty life, a pointless life, an unfulfilled life. And sinner, tonight as you gather in this meeting, you no doubt identify that theme, you no doubt identify that truth. Many times you've tasted of the broken things of this world, but you find that they give no lasting satisfaction. Many times you've attempted to find joy and contentment here below in the offers and enticements of this world and the schemes and the pleasures of man. But each and every time there's the day after. There's a regret. There's the emptiness. There's a life that is void of purpose or fulfillment. Oh, heed the voice of God tonight, reminding you once more in the life of Samson that a life without him is empty. A life without him is pointless. A life without him is hopeless. Samson here in this moment, I believe, realized that everything that he was going through was a result of his own personal downfall. God was helping Samson to realize that only the power of God could turn his life about. You and I try so often. Here we are at the start of a new year. No doubt many of us have entered into this year with good intentions. But here we are on the ninth day at 8 o'clock in the evening. Let me ask you, how are your good intentions going? Many of us attempt, but all of us feel. Friend, today God is reminding you, as he reminded Samson, that there is only hope, there is only rescue, there is only purpose, there is only contentment, there is only fulfillment, there is only purpose and joy to be found in him and in him alone. But there is also only rescue to be known as he comes to your deliverance. Samson turns to God. In that moment, he realized that he had missed out all of his life on the greatest power. And here in the midst of that house filled with the Philistines, he casts himself upon the marvelous great grace of our God. Read with me in the verse 28. It says, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. You may say tonight, well, surely Samson wasn't one who deserved to be forgiven after all that he had done. Surely God should have just let him rot in that prison, live out what was left of his life in regret and disgrace. Friend, I believe tonight that I serve a God who takes delight to take the failures of life here below and manifest in them and through them the unmatchable power that he alone possesses. And tonight he's able to take the wreckage and the carnage of your life, the mess of the sin that you've been involved in, and yes, perhaps even believer tonight who has strayed from God, who has given in to these temptations, who has known what it is to succumb to these vices, he is able to demonstrate in your life his incomprehensible and unfathomable grace. Samson here lived out the truth. The truth that John records in 1 John 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And this truth is something that we see demonstrated right throughout Scripture, for we see great men and women of the Bible who knew great victories, but also who had great blemishes on their lives. We're reminded continually there are no perfect saints. Just forgiven. Just consecrated ones. No, so often we have to come back time and time again to the God of all grace and cast ourselves upon him for his mercy. The forgiveness of God was seen, I believe, in his hair beginning to grow back. That's noted for us in the verse 22. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And then also in verses 29 and 30, in his strength returning again. For the Bible tells us that Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me now die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. God brought the victory. God forgive him for his shortcomings, for his feelings. God forgive him for his sin. God placed him as a vessel of honor in his servants once more. Friend, tonight, what about you? Do you want victory? Then you have to turn to the Lord. Do you want deliverance from all that holds you in bondage and captivity? Then you have to turn to the Lord. And as one old saint of God once said, whatever you do, do it now. Lay hold upon the promises of God and the gospel. Lay hold upon his promise of grace and mercy. Avail of the forgiveness that is offered unto all who will come and repent of their sin. Friend, Perhaps tonight, believer, you identify that shortcoming and failing in your life. Perhaps, backslider, you remember a time whenever you knew that mercy and grace and tasted and seen that the Lord was good. Now the heart is marred. Now the spirit is cool. And I remind you, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. And as Napoleon once said, there's always time for victory before the sun goes down. And avail of the offer that is extended to you to come and to know forgiveness from God, to know that restoration of fellowship with God. Come and avail of the strength that is available to you to tear down strongholds in your life tonight. To begin to overcome that which once held you bound. Samson was raised up by God to meet a particular need. Samson was someone who way too often gave way to his sinful impulses and urges. But Samson in the end finished well because he cast himself upon the great grace of our God. Tonight I remind you that as it's been recorded in the Word of God, that there is a victory available to all. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. We're going to close tonight by singing the words of the hymn, One There Is Who Loves Thee. Despite what may be shortcomings or failings in your life, despite that testimony and evidence of sin, that remains to be true, One There Is Who Loves Thee. Waiting still for Thee, canst Thou now reject Him? None so kind as He.